We're now closing out the show with a live interview with Luz Marquez Benbow. She is a Black Boricua, survivor of child sex abuse, incest, and rape. She is a founder of Aya Rising, Truth Telling Project, and founding member of Choi for Black Lives here in our city. Luz is one of the people working on bringing the Memorial of Altar to North Troy to the Freedom Square. Thank you for bringing the Emerging from Darkness Memorial Altar to Freedom Square. Could you tell us a bit more about this altar, Luz?
Sure, and I'm happy to be here. The altar was really a way of the sanctuary, and it's his annual way of doing a celebration. And as we all come together around the holidays, but because of COVID this year, they were trying to figure out a way to bring us all together. And I'm an avid supporter of the sanctuary, and I joined into the conversation, and we started thinking about what does our community need in this moment, given COVID. And so that's where the altar idea sort of came out, was a way to hold space that was social distance, that could be right in the community and could be accessible to folks.
Well, Luz, we're happy that you're here too. And we're happy that you can bring apart something that could bring the community together during such a tough time.
Absolutely. I think if we have not learned anything during COVID, I'm hoping that folks are paying attention to how we do need each other. Whether it is for Black lives or to survive a global health pandemic or to grieve the death of someone or not being able to see someone, to celebrate. And so that is all that you can get from an altar. And a community altar allows people to come from all walks of life, Black, white, straight, able-bodied, not trans, to participate in a community space in a way that keeps them healthy and grounded.
Okay, and when would the altar be available to visit?
And so we tried to do it during the holidays and then got hit by a storm, but we're flexible people. And so as of Sunday, it will be available straight through to the inauguration. And I'm trying so hard not to laugh because it's not a funny time in our country right now. I think those of us who are Black, those of us who have a history of oppression and genocide, like Indigenous people, Black people, people from other countries, immigrant communities, trans, lesbian, bisexual, queer communities, communities with disabilities, we know what it means to have a sense of a heightened awareness and safety. And so I think it's the universe saying we need an altar in this moment. And across the country, people in the movement for Black lives and our allies are creating spaces, safe, great, sacred spaces that can ground us mentally and spiritually and also connect us on a humanity level. And so ours happens to be this Sunday. It'll be there through Martin Luther King Day and up until inauguration. We just ask that no more than 10 people gather and that you wear masks and social distance. It's also an interactive altar, which I should say to people. It's not necessarily, our altar is not necessarily focused on one religious denomination. It's more of a spiritual space. If you do practice religious, religious ceremony, you can bring it there. But if you practice, like I do, spiritual ceremony, that is also welcome there. And so just wanted to make sure to say that. But please wear masks, no more than 10 people, and remember social distancing. And you will see that in some spaces of the altar, there will be little how-tos. There'll be a clothesline where people can put an ancestor's name, someone they're grieving, like my mom. I haven't seen my mom since March because of COVID.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's been hard. I mean, COVID has affected all of us, right? And so
she's definitely
Yeah, she's in a nursing home, so I see her like I see you virtually. but you can interact with it. You could bring something to the altar. Of course, you should think about what that is so that it's in case it's not there anymore. But we're hoping that it really helps to build our resiliency and our grounding as we get through this as a community here in Troy.
I completely agree. I love how this is so stable in bringing a community together, especially what's going on in the news and insertion at the Capitol. I feel like this is a perfect opportunity for Black and Brown communities to unite, and this Absolutely. Is a great opportunity for it.
Indeed. And it's a good opportunity for us to unite with white allies and across, like I said, race and sexual orientation and class. And so it certainly is, I think, one of the many ways that during this pandemic, during Black Lives Rising, we all have sort of gotten really creative and have come together. And so for those of you who don't know what an altar is, because I don't know all who listen to your audience, an altar is just a sacred space. I am a Black Boricua, and so my people are descendants of the enslaved Africans that were brought to Puerto Rico, and the indigenous Arawaks that were living in Puerto Rico during the time of colonization, which is still colonization today. But and so I practice a lot of African traditions. I have an altar in my home. I actually set one up in my car too.
Wow.
Because I'm a survivor of childhood sexual abuse and system rape and suffer from PTSD, it's very grounding to me to have these safe spaces, whether they're in my car or in my home and, of course, in the community. And I use lots of oils. And so there's always oils. There's always Florida water around me. But people can, like I said, bring pictures, different stones, crystals, things. An altar is a reflection of each individual, and you bring to it things that affirm who you are or who you want to be. And that could look like in so many different ways. And so we're hoping that our community benefits from it. Troy has been amazing since June 7th when we planned the rally and we had 11,000 people. Our community is showing up in so many ways for each other, despite racist systemic structures. And so it's just been really neat.
Have you been able to offer this kind of, the rituals and all that stuff in different areas?
You know, that's a really good question. I know that for us in Troy for Black Lives, we held a virtual call to hold space for ourselves. Lots of times as organizers, we're always in organizing. You're always trying to not react, but be prepared. And sometimes we forget how to stay grounded, how to stay in our bodies, how to not internalize the hatred that is put upon us every day. And we were able to hold space and talk about what that looks like. And for some people, it was to talk about an altar. It was to talk about Florida water and oils and breathing deeply and joy and music. Nationally, the work that I do around being a Black identified Latina, when we think about healing, back in from 2016 to 2019, I had a national fellowship and I focused it on those of us who are adult survivors who identify as Black racially and culturally from the Latin America and the Caribbean. And we used a lot of around altars. Typically when you go to a conference and it's about sexual assault or domestic violence, they'll have a safe room and they'll announce it. And that's what people go. Well, now every space that you went to on Howard University, which is a historically Black college in DC's room, was a safe space. And we didn't start anything without connecting to our ancestors and grounding ourselves and coming together. And in 2018, we did a virtual safe space. And so we took altars, took pictures of them. Young millennials taught me how to like do that on Twitter or on Instagram. And so there was an ongoing tag of virtual altars. And so, you know, it's the way that we Black folks, Indigenous people, have Asian people have maintained their spirituality, their connection to spirituality. Culturally, there's a folklore that says that when the white masters would come by in Puerto Rico, as soon as we saw them, our ancestors would start praying to a Catholic saint. And they started assigning African deity names to these Catholic saints. And so the white enslavers thought that they were just praying to Catholicism or Christianity, when in fact they were praying to one of the African deities. And so what we see now when we explore this idea of Santeria is you never know if someone's talking about Chango or if they're talking about one of the saints.
Claro.
Because, you know, oh, so la español, mira qué lindo. Sí. So, you know, so there's this way of how our people have just figured out how to live. And, you know, I know that this weekend we're near a capital city, which is our beloved Albany, New York. I know there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of anger. And just like our ancestors did, we too are going to be okay, and we too are going to survive this because of tools that we've been left with, that we've been taught, like altars. And so I'm just grateful that you all and that the sanctuary had the fortitude and the commitment to its community to allow such a space and to be creative and to invite people in. And I try to be one of those lucky ones. So
thankful for you. We're thankful for what you can do for the community, and we're thankful for what you're doing right now. This altar is a beautiful piece, and I cannot wait to go see it myself and leave a piece for my family members and
Indeed.
Wish something for the best for the future.
Absolutely. Where are you from?
I'm from Dominican Republic.
I'm
from Moca. Yes.
Entonces, sí. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I hope you participate with us. We're going to be there Sunday, setting it up from 9 to 12, and it'll be there through to the inauguration. And so, thank you.
Sweet. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Cuídate.
And our listeners are happy to hear from you.
Good. Cuídate. Adiós.
Cuídate. Pase bien.
Adiós.
Thank you. That was Luz Marquez Benbow. The memorial altar installation will welcome socially distanced groups of 10 or less of the Freedom Square in North Troy between this Sunday, 1:17, and Wednesday, 1:20. The timing corresponds with MLK Day on Monday, 1:18, with a theme of health justice. Tuesday, 1:19, coinciding with the National Memorial for COVID-19 Victims through Inauguration Day, Wednesday, 1:20.